Vishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
All right, so we are on the chapter 7. Okay, and so now next point then. How important it is for a devotee to reside in a sacred place. In Brahma Purana it is said the transcendental significance of Purusha, as we did, right? Yeah, we did this one. Okay. What does it mean that we should accept only what is necessary? In the Naradiya Purana, it is directed. One should not accept more than necessary if he is serious about discharging devotional service. The purport is that one should not neglect following the principles of devotional service, nor should one accept the ruling of devotional service, which are more than what he can easily perform. So, here, well, the meaning is that we should, whatever is favorable for discharging devotional service, then we can accept. For example, somebody can use computer and he uses for editing, he uses for his duty, his service. So then that's okay. But if he uses not for his duty, and he says, well, I'm going to use it for this, but he uses for something else instead, then this is not really for his benefit, for discharging devotional service. So it's unnecessary. The competitor then in that case is not necessary. Same like a car, right? Somebody lives few meters from the temple, then doesn't need car to travel from his house to the temple. So that's unnecessary. But if somebody lives very far away and then wants to be in touch with devotees, then yes, the car may be necessary if he's living somewhere on a farther place. So we have to, it's not important really how we explain that to the devotees, how we show it that what we have, we don't have, what we need, we don't need. The reality is that what actually it is that we do need. And that can only be really considered within ourselves. Because if we don't need really something, but we want something, we can create so many excuses how to get it. And we can actually even start believing ourselves that we really need it. But the problem is that if we don't need it, it's going to be a burden. another thing to get attached to. Yes.
Also, sometimes when we actually do need it, then, I mean, with the example with the car, if you live a long distance from the temple, so then maybe it's nice to have a very nice car, because then it doesn't break down on the way to the temple, and then with the climate control and the automatic seats and all these things. So can it not also sometimes be difficult to find this border between austerity and practicality?
Well, you see, somebody, you know, who is attached to being very, you know, comfortable, so then naturally he will go for, you know, the best available if he has the money for it, right? So, or if he has access to the money for it. He may not have the money himself, but he finds a way how to get the money, so then he will get what he wants.
Ramakananda Maharaj, he told me that he had seen in England one devotee who had this like huge SUV car, very expensive, and then he had one of these license plate that you can type yourself, and it said for Krishna, and he was thinking that might be a problem because is it really for Krishna or
so. Okay, you have to see, you have to understand the purpose, actually the religion of a thing. What is the religion? The religion is the nature, right? The nature of a thing, nature of a person. So that's the religion. What is it meant for? Car is meant for to move you from one place to the other.
So this is what I mean, if it gets too opulent.
Well, no, even Trabant can, no, move you from one place to the other, right?
One, yeah.
So, but, yeah, maybe slow, okay? Maybe only a few people, but no, you can buy it, no, for a few euros.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, but if it does the job, then why not?
And the rest of the euros can go in the collection box.
Well, maybe, yeah. No, whatever it will be, or, no, for something more, other project or not, something like that, but it is in that the social scene is such that the economics they force you to buy things, because by that the economy lives. So therefore you have to buy. If you have, you have to spend. Now, so it's unspoken, but it is sort of a rule that if you want to be accepted at certain level of social standard, you have to have certain things to show that you have it. So, you know, if you would come, you know, with like a Trabant somewhere to, you know, some five-star hotel, most probably then they will not take you seriously. No, so then you will have to show in some better car. So you have to present yourself. Then they will say, yes, okay, he is rich. Now, this is the really, actually the modern thing. Before, the people didn't really have to, prove it. Sometimes you see even like the rich people, they were dressed clean, but plain clothes. They didn't really, bother or didn't matter to him. Maybe having like very fine cloth. But it was not the main thing for them. If he was a Vaishya, for him the main thing was that he knows that in his bed he has not that many crores of rupees or that many kilo of gold stitched in. That's his. That was, he was happy, with that. And the family members, they may not have known.
Is that because in the West we don't have varnashram? So people use money and opulence
If you work hard and you become rich, then nouveau riche, then you want some reward, for your hard work. And if you don't tell anybody to become rich, then everybody will, oh, he's the poor guy who, you know, just was selling newspaper, you know, on the corner. Mm. No, I have no millions of dollars. Don't you see? So if you walk in plain clothes, oh, he is still poor. But no, so then, okay, you buy the latest BMW or Mercedes, and then you drive, you know, in your, you know, high-class villa, and like, you know, so, and you buy flashy stuff, so for people to see that you actually have the money. So you do consider things not really by how they look, but how much they cost.
Well, that makes it pretty difficult to accept only what is necessary.
Right. Because that's the standard. Now, people who are aristocratic, they don't really bother much with that. They have the opulence, but they have from very young age, right? They are born in opulence. So they just use it. For them, it's not a disturbance. But if it's not there, it's not really a disturbance also. No Pandavas, they had at their disposal, the whole palace, and the palace, the Indraprastha was, everything was, the yakshas were serving, they went in the forest and they were, in the forest. They didn't have really, great difficulty. So, it's, and of course, they didn't because they had Krishna. So they depend on Krishna. But even the kings, when they say, okay, I'm renouncing my kingdom and I'm going to the forest, and then they would go. That's the piety. That's the power of the king. Right? He can do that. Because, but if somebody just makes it, then they become very attached to it. Mm. And then everybody must know that I have it. So then that becomes very difficult to deal with. So now in Krishna consciousness, now if you have a person who actually comes because he's frustrated with so much of opulence and he just wants to give up, then that devotee will have a little advantage. Because, okay, now I have the opportunity to actually live the way I should. So, okay, I had this, I had that. So now I can give all this up and then I can fully concentrate on Krishna. Now, if you have some devotee who never, had seen something like that, then he may get tempted. Mm-hmm. Now, and you see especially the Indian devotees.
Yeah.
They get tempted, I go to America. If I, 3 years serve in the temple, I get free ticket. No, then...
People actually stop me around the temple and say I should take them.
Yeah, and for that, they are very, eager to work hard. But then after the 3 years, when they get to the West, then many just, they have nothing to do with the temple. They just, go and make money. So, this is, it's a motivation. But of course, not during those 3 years they had done devotional service. So that's going to be considered. It's not going to go away. But, some may get purified. So like Dhruva Maharaj, when actually it comes that, okay, so now we can go. Okay, I'll go, but I'll be in the temple, I'll just serve in the temple as a pujari, or I'll be happy being there. So he doesn't get to see any of the nonsense anyway. And he is happy. But some just don't get purified so well because they didn't put so much devotion into it. So then the desire will draw them, and they will not see the temple at all. They will just get lost in the West.
Yeah.
So, what is necessary and what is unnecessary?
Yeah. That can be difficult sometimes.
Well, it can, but it really depends on ourselves. We know.
Yeah, super soul would tell us maybe.
Yeah, we know what is... If somebody... See, okay, the aristocratic person, right? He lives in opulence. And then, for him, say, daily he spends 10,000 rupees, and then suddenly he has only 5,000 rupees to spend a day, right? So he has to cut on different things. It's austerity for him. Somebody has 100 rupees a day, and that's opulence, and he has to cut it to 50 rupees a day. So he will also manage. So for both, it's austerity. But as if you surrender to the Lord, and Lord is able to provide anything, anywhere, anytime, and then you may just consider this. Well, this is austerity, or this is opulence. But based on what? This is the duality. We have to judge. Because for somebody, the 100 rupees is opulent. For somebody, they cannot conceive how you can live with it. But they can. So, but the point is, now, when we surrender to the Lord, are we going to use that the dualities in the devotional service? Are we going to discriminate based on that? Or are we going to, trying to surrender to the Lord? So yes, when we were living in the big house, we had a big SUV. Okay, great. But now we are in the temple distributing books. We don't really need it. Do we need to buy one? Maybe not. And if I need, some devotee will take me where I need to go. So if that attitude is there, then the benefit is much greater. Yeah? Yes?
I also heard that for someone in the male body, the less possessions they have, the more secure they feel. But somebody in the female body, the more possessions they have, the more secure they feel. So that should be taken into account as well.
See, there is a difference between the male and female. Then the male, he doesn't really care what he has. If he has something, then he uses. And then if it's not useful, then just throw it away. I mean, what's the point, right? And if he has a big house, then he can live in the big house, he will use it. But if he happens to end up maybe somewhere under the tree, then with some little austerity adjustments, he can also manage it. So he is not so picky and choosy in that situation. But and because he is the active element, he is providing shelter. But for the female, then the female element is that they need shelter. So they were looking for how to get shelter. So they need the things around. So they will be not trying to possess this, that, and they get immediately attached. And even though if they don't need it, they just need to get it. Once they have it, then the feeling, okay, now it's mine. And they may not use it ever. But that's what makes them satisfied. Now, how it works. So then, she getting something from him, then she will appreciate it with emotions. Now, he doesn't mind giving, because he is not attached to it, but he's looking for emotions. So then, when she gives the emotion, she supplies that, then he is happy to provide more. So he is happy and she is happy. Then if both are trained this way, both they follow their own dharma, then the relationship works well. Now, the problems come when the man becomes the female. Then he starts also to be possessive and dependent. but on whom? Then the woman must become the man. But that doesn't work. So it's a real problem. So the man becomes weak, and the woman, no, they have to take now their position, otherwise, no, how will they maintain the families and like that, because the man is incapable. And it's all due to the man not being trained. If the man would be trained and properly giving shelter to the woman, then they wouldn't be looking for now how to get rid of men, we don't need the men, all this. That's because the man, it's useless. Nowadays, it's useless. So the training must be there. They must become trained, know how to deal with relationship, how to provide shelter. When the shelter is provided, then the woman, they can respect the man. And when there is a respect, naturally, the relationship flourishes. So the attempt should be to educate the man how to become man. And for that, they must become brahmacharis first. That's education.
Not everybody is in a situation where they are able to move into the temple. Like some might join after, you know, already being engaged in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So how can they be trained to understand these principles?
It may be more difficult, but they can still, by associating with the devotees, trying to get the realization from the devotees, they may also understand, because associating with somebody who has the realization, one can get the realization. So somebody may be engaged and he doesn't know what to do, how to do, then seek those who do have the realization. And that doesn't have to be grihasthas. It can be sannyasis, it can be brahmacharis, and then just get the realization what needs to be done. Once getting the realization, then you can act.
What I mean to ask is also that there doesn't have to be a separate training program for grihasthas. Just the basic training that will be there for brahmacharis and the training system.
See,
for people living outside.
The real training for grihasthas is brahmachari training. That's the real one. Now, if you have already grihasthas who are engaged and they are doing certain things, the only way how you can train them is to give them realizations. They don't have time to study. They don't have time to go through programs and things like that. It's not for them. They have to pay bills. No, they have to run around to maintain their family. So you cannot really, practically it will not work. So then, give them some association. Through the association, give them realization. So apply dharati pratigrihnati, guhimakhe prichati, bhungte bojate. And having programs with loving relationships, it will work. That's the way how the congregational preaching should be done. Because if it is done this way, then again they will feel that there is something which they don't have. What is that something? They will get the desire, even the greed to get it. And what is that? It's Krishna consciousness. But you have to inspire them. The inspiration must be based on Krishna can provide shelter. And in that shelter, you will be absolutely safe. Nobody else can provide this shelter. But that comes not from books or what you just read. That comes when somebody who realizes that can tell you that, and then you see that the person lives that, he applies that. Then you can apply it yourself. Yeah? Okay, why do we observe Ekadashi? The real reason for observing fasting on Ekadashi is to minimize the demands of the body and to engage our time in the service of the Lord by chanting or performing similar service. The best thing to do on fasting days is to remember the pastimes of Govinda and to hear his holy name constantly. So, as we discussed a little before, no, Ekadashi doesn't mean that, okay, we do nirjal, just the austerity. I mean, it's great if you can do nirjal and then you don't do anything else, but instead of doing eating or anything else, chant the holy name. Read Krishna's pastimes. You want to do it properly, don't sleep at night, but chant the holy name at night. Do kirtans, bhajans. The next morning, don't sleep and do your services as you usually do. Nobody should see any difference in that you didn't sleep. You perform your services and whenever you have time, just chant the holy name. That's the proper way. But didn't sleep the whole night, I was chanting, so now the whole day I have to sleep. So that's not proper approach. So Ekadashi, it's a very nice opportunity. We can engage ourselves more in devotional service. So it should not be taken as this is the austerity day, right? Now we will not eat anything. Srila Prabhupada, in fact, what he gave as Ekadashi menu. It was like a feast menu. So you have that, okay. So we don't eat the grains. So you, for those who cannot not eat, then, okay, they eat not grains. But it's a festival. So then, we have a feast. The menu was a fried cashew nuts, fried potatoes, then paneer sabji, and sweet. So that was simple menu, but that was which Srila Prabhupada actually recommended for Ekadashi.
Discussing with one devotee yesterday that usually we actually eat more of Ekadashi than normal. Just because we're in our mind, we have no grains, so we must supply with something else.
It is the mind. It is the mind. But, it's possible just, alright, eat. And if you don't want to eat, then use the time for chanting your japa. But if you would chant your japa and not eat, and after that you cannot do anything because you are tired or you are just exhausted, then what is the point? You should perform your service as you would usually do, plus extra. That's the meaning. Yeah. So then again, it depends. What you eat during the week. What is the? And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that the prasad in the temple should not be austere. Actually, it is the only legal sense gratification for the brahmacharis. And it should be properly done. It can be simple. I remember myself that it was in 90s when the Delhi temple was being built, sometimes I would I was in Vrindavan, sometimes go to Delhi, and breakfast there was very nice. It was chapati with butter on top and one sabji, but hot chapati, and the sabji was not simple but really nicely done. So it does, it's not difficult. Then when the temple opening was there, so then they were cooking for many, so they tried to make a really elaborate feast, so it, everything looked nice. But they tried to save money, so then it only looked nice. But when you take it, it was not. So then it's better if it's something simple and not tastes nice, it's properly served, you get fully satisfied. When it's something which look nice, you sit down, you expect a lot, but you get less, then it's very difficult to actually get full satisfaction. So that way then, well, you can apply that principle. Why is it important to give up the company of non-devotees? Lord Chaitanya told his household devotees that the Vaishnava should always give up the company of non-devotees. Then he explained that there are two kinds of non-devotees. One class is against the supremacy of Krishna, and another class is too materialistic. In other words, those who are after material enjoyment and those who are against the supremacy of the Lord are called Avaishnava, and their company should be strictly avoided. So here it's a definition of Avaishnava. Now Avaishnava, that's what we say the like non-devotees. Now it's why is it so important to avoid the association of non-devotees? It's because then by associating with them we may get the same mentality. We will develop the same qualities. And if those qualities means that they will take us away from Krishna, then it's not desirable. That's why we are trying to avoid the association with such people. Now, there's a difference between, I mean, what do we say, mean by saying avoiding association? Avoiding association meaning don't take their association. It means that they will tell you, oh, you should do this, no, you should eat meat, meat is good, it's very healthy. No, and then you start doubting that, maybe I should or should not. And then compromises come and just, then it's a fall down. But if you come to such people and you show them your own values, you show them what you like, what you experience, what is your realization, and the way you convince them, then they will be able to accept what do you have to say. Prahlad Maharaj was alone among many thousands of demons, and he was able to convince them. Why? Because he was convinced himself. So one has to become very convinced, confident that what he does, it's the real stuff. Why do we follow the process of devotional service? It's just for our whims? No. We are following the process of devotional service, because we are convinced that this is the way how we can fulfill our goal of life. Of course, somebody else may have other goal of life. Maybe somebody else is looking for some beautiful woman, and that may be the goal of his life. So for him, devotional service will not be seen as the ideal path to get it. So everybody must set their goal. Now, it depends on what it is, then we are able to achieve it. So for devotees who set their goal to serve Krishna, then devotional service, bhakti yoga, is the process. So it's up to every individual. Now, we can help once we get certain level of realization. We can go and we can tell the people about what we realized. The people may get the understanding. They may get the realization. They may try the process. They will be happy. But it's only through our realization that we can really preach to the people. Not by knowledge. No, go out with academic knowledge that you know so many scriptures just by heart, but you don't understand the meanings, you won't be able to convince really many. And it's not about the number anyway. You are supposed to do something which pleases the Lord, pleases Vaishnavas. That's devotional service. So if you are capable of preaching the Shastra, you go and preach the Shastra. If not, then just go and chant the holy name. Just preaching of chanting of the holy name gives perfection. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got instructed by his guru that he should go and just chant and dance. So there is nothing wrong on that. But we should be convinced that this is what it is. When the first devotees in New York started to go out to preach, they didn't have any purple clothes, they didn't have anything else, they just were convinced that Srila Prabhupada gave them the greatest treasure he had. And that's the holy name. So then with that, with the same urgency, then they did tell people about it. And people were so impressed that they just immediately wanted to become a devotee. Because they saw that those devotees have something which they don't have and they are looking for. But for that we have to become very sincere to want to know what it is. What are we looking for? If we relax and then just looking for some facilities just to enjoy ourselves, that some devotees come, say, to India not really to practice devotional service but just to live cheaply because they don't have much money or they want to spend so much money. That's not the purpose. We come to the dham to perform service, to educate ourselves, to do something, to apply, to find how we apply the knowledge we have. But if we waste the time not associating with the devotees, not perform devotional service, so then it is not very useful. And even though we are in the dham, then still we will not get the benefit if we would perform devotional service. Yes?
About these two kinds of non-devotees, could it be said that the class that is too materialistic, they are actually in the category of the innocent and might be convinced about how to connect themselves to Krishna and actually get better material sense enjoyment, not material, but sense enjoyment. And the persons who are against the supremacy of the Lord, they would be in the category of the demoniac.
Well, yes, you see, those who are the materialistic. So yes, they are in ignorance, and then for them it is easier not to eventually give up the attachment. Just they must understand that the material things, the possession, does not really provide shelter. So, because they cannot get relationship with that matter. So, if they get the understanding by the association with the devotees and they see the nice relationship developing, they will be able to surrender themselves. But they have to experience it. So there must, before you can give something up for something else, you have to know that something else is better than what we have now. Because we are so afraid, we are so stuck to the point that the attachment. And before we give up this attachment, then we have to know that that something else which we may accept is going to be better than the previous one. But if we don't know, it will be very difficult. So therefore, see, not those devotees who come through the proper functional families, when they are taken care of from young age by the mother, by the father, they go through the school and everything works, they have respect for authorities, they have less difficulty accepting Krishna as a supreme authority. But when that's disturbed and the chain of authorities is broken, then the attitude will be very different and much more difficult to accept the authority later, and that includes also the authority of the Lord. So, but still, it is easier to preach to somebody who is just materialistic if you show him that with the material, the dead matter, you cannot have proper relationship, you won't get the rasa. And if you can show them how to taste rasa, then they should be able to immediately give up. But for those who are tasting the so-called rasa, that they are the supreme. So therefore they don't accept that somebody else maybe. So that may be more difficult to deal with. So that's the impersonalism. So to deal with that, well, the only thing you could really do, then give them prasad, and ask them to chant the holy name, but don't preach about the glories of chanting. They will think it's their own glories, so they will get more and more bewildered. Yes.
I have a question. So about giving association rather than taking. Sometimes in preaching, then the person that you're preaching to will want to express his ideas, or somehow or other you'll get their association, something they'll say, their whole vibe. Association is there, you will get something. So what's the qualification for not being affected by that in a negative way or in a very strong way?
First of all, you have to be convinced yourself that the process which you are going through, that this is, that's the process. So that's the level of nishta. So in nishta, then you should be, I mean, in nishta you are convinced that the process you are doing, you are performing, this is the way how you achieve your goal. There's no other way. So if you preach to somebody, and then Prabhupada should have, no, many times, he may talk to anybody. And then they may have very nice conversation. And the person may be talking about who knows what. But Prabhupada is a gentleman, he wouldn't know, oh, we don't talk like this, oh, this. No, I don't need to know. Yeah, it's true, but you just let him talk. Because then if you let somebody talk, then it breaks the barriers, right? The communication. But there will always be some point and in the conversation which the other person can catch on and explain things maybe differently than the other person understands. Like there is one conversation when Srila Prabhupada talks with the Formula One driver. And they talk about cars and engines and now all this. And Prabhupada is listening. And then he's just happily talking about what it is and how it is. Okay, so. And then he explains how he's going and how he goes really fast and he goes, moving, whatever, go then. And as he explains, and then Srila Prabhupada asks, and when you go so fast and you are taking over the cars and this, you are not scared? And yes, sometimes, but this is the adrenaline and this. No, but do you know where it comes from? And then, okay, he doesn't know, so creates a desire. No, you know? And then explain, and through that, now you can explain the whole philosophy, how everything happens in reality. So you don't have to go, this is nonsense, you are a nonsense guy, you are driving, you should be chanting, forget that. Then, okay, stay away, I don't want to. So, but you can listen, but you are not going to take it, you are not going after it. Oh, that's really, I should also try driving Formula One. No, if you would do that, better don't talk. Don't listen. But if you know that for me the Formula One driving, it's not. But the other person, he may be interested to know why is he having feelings the way he is having them. So Prabhupada didn't take the association of that person. He gave him his association, he gave him his mercy. And he got certain realization. You don't hear or see Srila Prabhupada desiring, okay, I need to go and drive some Formula One after that. He doesn't have the desire, it's not his. Because the anartha is not there. To taste the speed, it's not there. Therefore, he can very clearly explain without attachment what and how needs to be done. Yeah? Yes?
I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
So then, because the anartha is not there, then he has a realization that that process isn't going to give him what he wants. So, could we say that, or what could we say is the standard for sending people out for preaching? That they have to have a certain standard of realization? Because because we saw, like you said, in the old days, when Prabhupada was around, that people didn't have much realization, they were convinced because of the force, the enthusiasm of Prabhupada, then they were able to convince people. So, what was their level of realization, and what should be the level of realization for each
other? See, they had deep realization. They may didn't have a lot of knowledge of the books and things like that, but they knew that Krishna is supreme and I am his servant. And then my duty is to serve, and that is by devotional service, chanting the holy name. That's all they knew. But they were so convinced about it that when they explained that, people immediately understood that this is the reality. But now we can go and you can have, now you can know so much. But if the conviction is not there, you will not be able to really apply it, all your knowledge. So the conviction must come. You have to be convinced that what you are doing, that's the thing which you should be doing. You want to surrender to the Lord, you should know why you are supposed to surrender to the Lord. You have to want to surrender to the Lord. Nobody will make you to surrender. You have to make the decision. Why would you make the decision? Somebody should show you by example why you should surrender to the Lord. If you don't find anybody who can show you, who can lead you how to surrender, then you are not very fortunate. But as a jiva, we need to take shelter. And if we consider material shelter as our goal, then we are unfortunate. But when we start to understand that Krishna is the supreme shelter, he is the ultimate, then we are very fortunate. But who is going to show us? Who is going to give it to us? It's Krishna and the Vaishnavas. So then how do we ask them? How do we make them to give us the shelter? Then do some service for the Vaishnavas. At least don't do any disservice to Vaishnavas. Don't offend them. Then if you at least appreciate as much as you can, then what will you appreciate on them? You will appreciate good qualities. That means you can find the good qualities on them. That means that you will be developing these good qualities. And the bad qualities, if you don't practice, if you don't maintain them, they will go away. So then, seeing that, you will get taste for it. Because there will be a relationship. And you will actually see that the shelter of Krishna is beyond this material world. And you will not want to go back. But there will be still desires. There will be desires in the heart to do things, this, that. But you will hanker for always remembering the Lord. But whenever you cannot remember, you will always endeavor for not forgetting. Practice that. Then always remember will come. And there is nobody who can convince you otherwise. Because you are convinced. You found a way, you found the goal the way you wanted it to be, what you want to achieve. And that way then, you can achieve perfection. here.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare